We're going to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 in our Bibles tonight. And I'm going to look at two sisters, Mary and Martha. And there's a contrast in these sisters. Y'all never heard of that, siblings being different from each other? Y'all ever heard of that? Yeah, it doesn't happen, does it, right? I heard one lady say, you can have 10 of them. They're all different, right? And probably is the truth, but these two sisters were wired opposite. They were geared different, and they're representative of all Christian people. And we're probably, most of us, naturally kind of inclined towards Martha, too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. But we ought to be more inclined like Mary, take the time to sit at Jesus' feet, right? So we see this contrast tonight, and let's look here at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great story in the Bible. Help us to learn from it tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the story again. Martha has invited him. Jesus went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were the siblings. I think he probably frequented their home, had a good relationship with them. It says Martha had invited him to come fix a meal for the Lord. And in the last part of verse 38, Martha received him into her house. Amen. Have you received the Lord into your home? Yes. Important, right? Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary. Now notice this, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, the word also is interesting because it kind of makes me think maybe both of them had been at Jesus' feet at some point because of the word also. So maybe they both had been there listening to the Lord. But at some point, Martha got fidgety and thought, you know, the food's getting cold or got to go take care of this in the kitchen, you know, all of that. So maybe they both had been, I'm not sure. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about, much serving. And she came to the Lord and said, Lord, this thou not care, my sister hath left me alone. So that tells me that maybe both of them had been working on the meal, but at some point, Mary left her to finish up the dishes, and she went to listen to Jesus. So either way, maybe both of them had done a little bit of both things is what I'm getting at. But at this point, Mary has decided, you know what, these dishes can wait. You know, I'm not going to waste this time right now. Jesus is here. I want to go hear, listen to him. I want to go hear what he has to say. So maybe they both had done this. Martha complains about her sister. Now, I know siblings don't do stuff like that either. You don't tattletale on your sibling. You don't say, hey, would you, you know, she said, Jesus, would you tell her to come help me? It didn't go the way Martha thought it was going to go. She thought Jesus was going to say, Mary, really, I mean, you should get in the kitchen. You know, you should go to the kitchen and you should be helping your sister. But no, Jesus commended Mary's choice and actually really rebuked Martha's choice. So it didn't go the way she thought it would go there whenever she kind of complained about the situation. But the Lord said she hath chosen, in the latter part of verse 42, she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So they each made a choice is the idea. They each made a choice. What was the choice? Verse 39, Mary's choice, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And then Jesus said, she has chosen that good part. So I'm just asking us tonight, have we chosen that good part? Have we chosen that good part? So in this situation, I preached the other day about if you don't have patience, you won't have peace. Well, we see Martha has no patience and Martha has no peace either, right? The Lord told her, it says she was cumbered about. The Lord said, let's look at verse 41 again. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, that's anxious, and troubled about many things. You ever get, you know, busy with many things? Got a lot to do. Got a lot of irons in the fire. Got a lot to do. Many things. But then the Lord said, but there's one thing in the next verse. So you see, there's many things, but then there's one important thing. Do the many things sometimes crowd out the one needful thing in our lives? Isn't that so easy? Martha is guilty of letting the many things crowd out the one needful thing. We're all guilty of it. We all have done that. We do those things ourselves. But whereas Mary patiently waited before the Lord and she had peace, Martha had no patience and she had no peace. So this really does, I didn't plan it, but it would have been a good example in my message the other day to use these two sisters. But you see, when you're not patient, you don't have peace, right? And when you don't have time to sit at Jesus' feet, you don't have peace then either. So Jesus said, Mary has chosen what he called that good part. Have we chosen that good part? Now, let's notice what Mary has chosen. I'll give you a few points tonight. Number one is this. She had dedicated her life to the Lord. She had dedicated her life to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying Martha didn't. But there's a lot of Christians that have gotten saved and they call themselves followers of the Lord, but they have not dedicated themselves totally to love the Lord and follow the Lord and obey the Lord and learn about the Lord and dedicated themselves to be in the Bible and be in the Word and be in church and all of these things. They had dedicated themselves to serving the Lord. Now, Martha was serving the Lord. We commend her for that. But sometimes we're so busy with our service that we let our worship get crowded out, right? Sometimes we're so busy with the activity, even at church, good things, but the good one needful thing, again, gets pushed aside. So here she is. She has dedicated herself to the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in John 12 that there was a time, I don't know if it was the same occasion, by the way, but there was a time when Jesus was in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus having a meal. And the Bible says that Mary took an expensive ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus before his burial and his crucifixion. She understood some things about what he was going to do. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. We know that there was a couple of occasions of that, but we know there was a time when Judas complained about that expensive perfume or ointment being wasted. No, she was so dedicated to the Lord that she surrendered even her treasures. It was expensive perfume. It was expensive ointment. But she had surrendered her time. She had surrendered her treasures. We often say we ought to surrender our talents to serve the Lord. She wanted to serve her Savior and help His cause any way that she could. And she showed that she was dedicated to Jesus and His cause. What an example of dedication Mary is to us. Not only dedicated to do the jobs of service, but dedicated to also worship the Lord, not only in a perhaps a corporate setting, but even a private setting, she would worship the Lord. I think that's what dedicated Christians do, is they help the Lord any way they can. Now let me give you a verse, Romans 12:1. Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. She was dedicated to give not just a reasonable service, but extra service, I think, to the Lord.
The Bible says it's just reasonable that we serve the Lord. Don't you wish most folks would that say they're saved would get involved in a good church and serve the Lord in the church? Amen. Don't you wish more folks would do that? I'd love to see more folks get involved in just serving the Lord somehow, some way in the church. You know, my dad went to be with the Lord, but he definitely was one of those who had given his life to serve the Lord in the church. And he's in heaven now. He doesn't regret having made that decision, you know. So he served the Lord. Well, you know, I mentioned this at his funeral. I pastored my home church for 8.5 years, and my boys were smaller then, and they would often comment, well, here Papa's coming up again. We lived in the parsonage beside the church. Papa's coming up again. Well, I hated to disappoint him. He wasn't coming just because we were there. It's just what he had always done. You know, he was going to be there during the week fixing a lawnmower or working on something or doing something, right? And just serve the Lord. If people would just get in a good church and serve the Lord. I know a lot of people, they want to get in a big church and get lost. I want to get in a church where I can do something. Amen? I want to get in a church where I can just serve the Lord. I want to be dedicated to serving the Lord. And she certainly, Mary was certainly doing that here on this occasion. So no wonder the Lord was often seen at their house. Could have been after Lazarus, their brother, was raised and resurrected from the dead. We see him in the next chapter in John 12 where this is. Where that occasion of the anointing was. He had just resurrected her brother. Might have been part of why she dedicated that expensive ointment to him. She wanted to worship. She knew who he was. And he could raise the dead. And he would eventually sacrifice himself and be raised from the dead. She dedicated herself to Jesus. Amen. When you know who he is and what he can do and what he has done and what he will do, you dedicate yourself to serving him. Amen. She is some kind of an example for us in doing that. The Lord blessed this family, so this family blessed the Lord. That's reasonable. Stands what Paul said. That stands the reason when the Lord's blessed you, you just go ahead and bless them too. Amen? Let me give you number two. Not only was she dedicated her life to the Lord, number two, she wanted to discover His will. Well, I mean, sitting at His feet, she wanted to hear what He had to say. She wanted to hear what he was all about. She wanted to know his teachings. Yeah, I was in Romans 12:1 there. Romans 12:2 says, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Your mind, when you get saved, needs to be transformed and renewed. Amen? Get it out of this world. Get it out of the gutter. Get it into the Word of God, right? So he says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God." I think she wanted to hear the will of God, the plan of God. I think she wanted to hear what was in store and what Jesus was going to do. I think she was interested in knowing all about that as she sat at the feet of Jesus. Hearing His words, heeding His words, applying His words to her life, learning of His words, His will, His ways, all of that. Now, obviously, this reminds us of personal devotions. She took time to sit at his feet. That's when you take time to open your Bible and read it during the week on your own. And when you take time to pray and talk to the Lord during the week. When you take time to go to church, even on a Wednesday night, amen, or a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, go to church. You're giving, again, yourself to the Lord. Why? You want to discover what the Lord has to say. You want to hear the word of the Lord. You want to hear the word preached. You want to hear the word taught. You want to be able to know what the Bible says. You want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because you want to seek that perfect will of God, Romans 12:2 talks about. As you stay, and by the way, you're only going to know the perfect will of God as you stay in the Bible. Amen? You know the word of God. And listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything opposite of what you find in the Bible. People are doing so much stuff today in the name of God that you can't even find the Bible. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do something contrary to the Bible. Yeah, I don't know. It was in the news this week. The news told about a Baptist church over in Greenville. Their woman pastor, and I could stop and talk right there for a little bit about doing things opposite of the Bible. But their woman pastor led them in celebrating Pride Month. Now, just read the Bible. It's not very hard to get know the mind of God on that matter. Amen? That is a sin because it's against God's Word. It's against God's will. It's against God's plan. So a lot of people, well, the Holy Spirit led us to do it and God is love. You better go read some more of this Bible to understand God more totally and completely than that. God is love, so God, yeah, sure God loves everybody. But that cross tells me He loves everybody, but that cross also tells me He wants to deal with our sin. He will punish sin, right? And we need to accept Christ and His payment. Well, then we need to live right for God. She wanted to learn what Jesus had to say. She wanted her mind to be renewed, and she wanted to be transformed to go the way of God, the will of God, not the way of this world. When you're doing it the way of the world, you're not doing it the will of God, the way of God, the Word of God. It's because you're not in the Bible. God's general will for everybody is to get saved, get sanctified, live for Jesus. Amen. Don't you think that's God's will for everybody? The Lord wants everybody to get saved. Amen. Jesus died on that cross to save souls, every soul. God's will is for a person to get saved, sanctified, growing in the Lord, live for Jesus. But then, you know what? There's a personal will. And that is God's personal plan for your life. There's a general plan, a general will, but there's a perfect, and that's what the verse in Romans 12, 2 talks about, the perfect will of God. That's the personal will of God. That's what God wants you to do with your life. Some things are laid out in the Bible, so we know general rules, right? But some things are, you're praying about it right now. You're praying about some decision right now. Why are you praying about that? Because you want to know what God, the mind of God, you want to know the will of God. And the more you spend time at Jesus' feet in the Bible, the more you'll be able to figure that out. Amen? And the Lord will show you. She dedicated her life to the Lord. She's chosen that good part. She dedicated her life to the Lord. But then she wanted to discover His will. All right, let's look at this. Number three, what else? She decided to follow Him. She decided to follow Jesus. Just simply, she decided to follow Him. You remember whenever Joshua in Joshua 24 asked that question, if it seemed evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? He made a conscious, deliberate choice to say, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be on the right side of this thing. You know what she did? There was a time when Mary made a deliberate choice to say, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm serving the Lord. She decided to follow Jesus. Just like Joshua did, she decided to follow Jesus. You know, that's the best choice that anybody's ever going to make. Do you remember when you made the choice that you would decide to follow Jesus? Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter who says what. Doesn't matter what the family thinks. Doesn't matter what our friends think. It matters now what God Almighty in heaven says. And I'm dedicated and I have decided deliberately, I'm going to just follow Jesus. Hey, you know what? When you get to heaven, you're going to be glad you made that choice. Amen. That you got on the right side of things. That's what Joshua was saying. You got to make a choice. It's a deliberate decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. We sing that little chorus sometime. I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, isn't that what Jesus said here? Jesus said in our text, she hath chosen that good part. I've decided to follow Jesus. She decided and she chose that good part. I remember making that decision myself in my life. And do you remember when you made the decision, you're going to follow Jesus? Have you regretted it? No, you're not going to regret it. You're going to always be glad. That's the best choice you ever made. You're going to follow Jesus. Amen? Think about that. Remember whenever you made that choice and said, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make that personal, deliberate decision to get saved, to please God with my life, to live for the Lord, to worship Him on a regular basis, amen, to do the plan of God for my life. You made a deliberate decision to be in church tonight, didn't you? All right, you made a choice. And you have chosen that good part which cannot be taken away from you. You ever wasted your time and said, boy, I can't get that hour back? You ever done that? I hope we don't do that with church. I hope we don't say, boy, I went to church tonight and I wasted an hour. I hope we don't see church like that. Amen. A lot of other things I could do right now instead of being in church, and I'd say, I wish I could have got that hour back, and I wish I'd have went to church and worshiped the Lord. Amen. Sang praise unto His name and heard His word and fellowship with the brethren. A little bit of heaven on earth. A little bit of what God wants us to do. Amen. She decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. Best decision anybody has ever made, best decision you will ever make, is to follow Jesus. So she said, you know what, I'm going to dedicate my life to the Lord. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to sit at His feet, read His Bible. I'm going to discover His will. I'm going to decide every day. By the way, it is an everyday decision. I'm going to decide that I'll follow Jesus today. Amen? Isn't that right? The inward man is renewed day by day. Every day you got to make that choice. Am I going to follow this old sinful, wicked flesh, or am I going to follow the Spirit? Galatians 5. Amen? You got to make a choice every day which one you're going to follow. I hope you get up every day and say, Lord, I devote this day to You, and I choose to follow Jesus today. Amen? Right? That's what Mary did. She chose that good part. The Lord said it won't be taken away from her. Why? Because she invested in eternity. Amen. When you invest in eternity, you never lose that. That's an investment you cannot lose. Go ahead and send your treasures on up to heaven. Your tithe, your talent, your treasure, everything, your time. Just give it all to the Lord and invest it in the cause of Christ. You'll never lose it. That's the good part, right? All right, she's doing these things. She dedicated her life. She discovered the will of God. She decided to follow Jesus. Number four, she depended on His power. She depended on His power. Why else do you need to sit at the feet of Jesus? Why else do you need to crowd out the busyness of your life and be still and know that He is God? Because you need the power of God. I was listening to some preachers today. I was listening to something. They were talking about this. And they were talking about how just simply, if people would get into the habit of reading their Bible every day, how much more power they would find they have in their life to fight against the devil. It's so simple. When you feed your soul and feed your faith on the Word of God, you'll find that you have more power. So here she is taking time to sit at Jesus' feet. Why? She knew. She depended on His power. Martha, we'll get to the kitchen later. I got something more important to do right now. It is a priority, right? It is a choice. I got something more important to do right now. Let's get away from the busyness of life and sit at Jesus' feet. That's what you do when you go to church. That's what you do when you open your Bible at home. That's what you do when you spend time in prayer. It is a recognition of the need to recharge my spiritual batteries. Amen. You've got to do that, right? You've got to do that. Recharge your spiritual batteries. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I abide in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. By the way, she probably had heard the Lord teach on that. She's sitting at His feet. She's listening to the Lord. I don't know what He's given her in that private home session with her and her sister and her brother or who else all might be around. But that's a small gathering. That's not the masses. That's a small gathering. She might have heard Jesus say that about the vine. She might have heard Him say it in public. She might have heard Him say it again in private. But she probably had heard that. She knew that lesson. That without you, there's nothing I can do. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The world says you can do anything you want. Set your mind to. Just you can do all things. The Christian says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. We come to realize we have to have the Lord. So Mary here applied that lesson to her daily life. Martha's having to kind of learn to slow down a little bit and take that time to read her Bible. Take that time to listen to the words of the Lord. So, she dedicated her life. She discovered the will of God. She decided to follow Jesus. She depended on the power of the Lord, sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, I wish we all could learn this one. We're more like Martha here. We're so busy. And then we wonder why we lack the power to fight off the devil. You take a power drill, you put it on the charger, and just walk away and come back later, and it's charged up. Why? Because it spent time connected to the power, right? Same thing is true about your spiritual life. If you will take that time to get connected to the power source, that's what she was doing there. She depended on the power of the Lord. But let me give you a fifth one. Number five, she delighted in His ways. Just like Psalm 1, the one that delighted in the law of God day and night, she did that. She delighted in the Word of God. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, we hear that, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, the Lord's going to give me whatever I want. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. I believe it means literally He will give you the right desires. And He will clean out the wrong desires. If you'll delight yourself in the Lord like she did, spend time at Jesus' feet, spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer, spend time in church, spend time worshiping the Lord, your desires will be what they ought to be. They'll be lined up with the Lord. Those desires that we had that were sinful and evil and wicked and selfish and ambitious for personal gain, man, that'll all get washed out. And the desires we'll have are the desires that the Lord gives us to have. Right? And He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. You know that's part of following the Lord, by the way? People say, follow your heart. I always say, get that heart right with God before you follow it. Amen? If you get that heart right with God, then you can follow it. Why? Because the Lord will put the right desires in there. You'll have the right want-tos. People get saved and all of a sudden they want to do the right things. All of a sudden they want to stop doing old things are passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen? And they want to stop doing that. The old crowd comes around and says, hey, let's go out and do what we used to do. No, I don't even want to do that anymore. Did that happen to you? When you got right with God, I don't even want to go to that place anymore. I don't even want to hang around that crowd anymore. I don't want to do those sinful things anymore. Don't have any desire. You have no need for it. But, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to Bible study. Let's go to prayer meeting. Let's go serve the Lord. Man, then you have new desires. Amen? You might have something on your heart. Have you ever told somebody, I really just have this on my heart? Well, look, if you're a Christian and you're in the Word and you're in prayer and you've got something on your heart, chances are that's the leading of the Lord right there. Amen? Right? He gave you the desires of your heart because He's leading you somewhere. But you got to do like she did. The reason she sat at His feet is because she delighted in His ways. And then she could go in the right path. So to delight in the ways of the Lord, that's another good reason to get out of the crowd. Get out of the world. This world's wicked. This world's depressing. I mean, this world is not my home. This world's depressing for somebody who's longing to get to heaven. Amen? Right? Man, if you love to sing about a mansion up in heaven and you're looking forward to going to heaven one day and meeting Jesus face to face, this old world's depressing and wicked and you just don't fit in anymore, right? Well, I have trouble separating from the world. Get closer to Jesus. It won't be a problem. Well, preacher, I got to separate from my old friends. You just get close to Jesus and they'll separate from you. It'll be taken care of. Because you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the Lord, you're talking about going to church, you're not talking about sin anymore. And they're like, what in the world happened to you? Well, come on to church and find out. Amen. Come on with me and get to know Jesus. And you'll get some of that too in your life. You know, Christians who prefer the ways of the world, that's a strange thing. Right? 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's plain, right? If he loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If he's delighting in the ways of the world, then his desires are in the ways of the world. But if he's delighting in the ways of the Lord, his desires will line up with the ways of the Lord, right? That's the way it goes. You remember Israel? tempted to go back to Egypt.
Out there in the wilderness, the promised land on the horizon. The promised land on the horizon.
Let's go back to Egypt. It was so much better there. Really? Under the bondage of Pharaoh and sin, which is a picture of being under the bondage of the devil and the world. And you've got the promised land in sight, and here you are talking about going back. There's something wrong with that picture. You're not delighting in the ways of the Lord. And your desires are not where they ought to be, right? Let's do like Mary. Stay close to Jesus, and the less you'll like this world. The Bible says, love not the world. You say, I'm not supposed to love people. Yes, you love people. You don't love this world system that is against God. That's what you don't love. You love people. We love sinners, but we don't love sin, right? I mean, that's the way God is. He loves sinners, but He doesn't love sin. So you know what? If you do like Mary, stay close to Jesus. Choose that good part. Sit at Jesus' feet. The less you're going to like this world, and the more you're going to follow the ways of the Word. Amen. Isn't that real simple? Don't be that Christian that's like, I want to see how close I can get to the world and not fall over the cliff. No, no, no. You get close to Jesus, He'll pull you back from the cliff. Amen. You won't find yourself going over the edge into sin. Have we chosen that good part? I hope we have. By the way, you got to keep choosing it. Amen. Choose it again tomorrow. Choose it again Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and be in church. Amen. Choose it again tomorrow. Read your Bible and pray. Amen. Do the right things. Please the Lord. That's what Mary did. Martha, she's good. I like her. But sometimes I'm too much like her when I ought to be more like Mary. Amen? Because being more like Mary will make us more like Jesus. Amen? Have we chosen that good part? Let's keep doing it. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You so much, Lord, for what You've shown us here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for this great, great passage in the Bible. And Lord, help us with it here this evening. And Lord, help us in our prayer time here in a moment. And just bless the rest of this evening. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a verse of something and then we'll have prayer time.
Amen. Well, let's stand again one more time tonight. Let's stand again, and we're going to turn to 470. I have decided to follow Jesus. 470.
I figured that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the first and third verse of 470. First and third. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen, amen. I went longer than I meant to. Sorry, Sonny. But I hope y'all still will stay behind for his birthday cake. Amen. Those watching us tonight, thank you for watching. Appreciate you joining us that way.